just started calling me Brother Goofball. So that may be more apt to put on the live stream, something like that. That may work. So Brother Gallion was supposed to give me some jokes to start off, but he kind of dropped the ball on that one. So we'll get started. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sure you're all excited to start your day off tomorrow. Hopefully you have the day off. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Brother Sam Hagedorn has already paid me $20 to be on the 20 minutes. So I'll just start taking an offering at $1 a minute. And, you know, every dollar that comes in, we'll just drop in a minute. And that'll work. We can go home. So 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Lord gave me a thought as just a couple days ago. Brother Nichols said, hey, you may want to be ready to have something in your pocket. We'll see how I feel. So the Lord, I began to pray and see what the Lord wanted me to give, what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And it was Memorial Day, so I said, should I do something patriotic? Should I do something along those lines? And the Lord didn't give me anything there. But with the pastor out of town, he said, why don't you speak for the pastor? I'm like, hey, that's a good idea. I'll do that. No, not really. But I do want to talk about an interesting truth, a good reminder I think all of us need at times. I want to speak on the topic of who does a pastor need us to be? Who does a pastor need us to be? And just some reminder, just some thought from the life of Paul. We're going to find ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I often find myself in my daily Bible reading kind of getting away from the schedule and going to one of Paul's letters. I really much enjoy what Paul's writings in the Scriptures, the Timothy's especially. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find Paul's last words that we can call it, Paul's last letter. And these would be Paul's last words. So I want us to look at that, and then we'll get started tonight. Let's start at chapter 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. These next two verses is where I really want to draw from. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, pressing to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this land, Lord. Thank you for this country that you've blessed us with. And Lord, I thank you for the sweet song that the abbot sang, Lord. And I do pray that you would stir our hearts as Memorial Day is tomorrow, Lord. I pray that you would remind us of the men and women that have sacrificed, the men and women that have given so much so that we may enjoy this freedom in this country. Lord, I do pray that you would be with us tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, that you would keep distractions away, Lord, that you would use me. Lord, really, just get me out of the way, and I pray that your spirit would be the talking in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been blessed with a wonderful pastor. We really have. And I'm not just saying that because he's not here. I think I can really speak for all of us when I say that he is a servant of God. That our pastor is a servant of God. He's a pastor that takes his calling very seriously. Perhaps you've been to churches or you know folks that maybe they don't take it as serious. He truly spends time studying the Word of God. He truly spends time in study that he may rightly divide the Word for us. He takes that seriously. He spends time in prayer for everyone in this room, for your families, for your needs. He's a pastor of prayer. He's a man with a vision. I think we would all agree with that. And as a church, you help him with that. We help him with that. When we are faithful, when we support his vision, you know what? That encourages him. He's not a perfect man. He's not, if I can say a super pastor, he's not perfect. But when we encourage him, when we're faithful, you know what? That's a help to him. But I want to look at the life of Paul and draw some things of who Paul surrounded himself with. As Paul, when we think of Paul, we think of a servant of God. We think of really one of the best men of God that we read about in the Scriptures. And I want to look at who he surrounded himself with, who helped Paul. In 1555, as part of her campaign to reestablish the Catholic Church in England, Queen Mary arranged for John Philbert, one of the leading Protestant ministers of the day, to be burned at the stake. When his death sentence was pronounced, this is what Philbert said, I am ready. God grant me strength and a joyful resurrection. Philbert walked to the place of his execution on his own, rather rather than being dragged there or forced to go. And when he reached it, history says that he knelt and kissed the stake at which he would be burned. Sounds like a man that is not really scared of death. Sounds like a man that knew whatever he was dying for, it was worth it. And that's where we find Paul in 2 Timothy. He's in prison. He's awaiting death. And you know what? We read in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." Paul was not scared of death. He knew that this was a cause worth dying for. You know what? When we look at these last words, as a culture, we are amazed by the last words of people. We like to look to whoever that may be. Maybe it's long-lived public intellectuals. Maybe that's sport athletes or Hollywood stars. Whatever that is, we like to know the last words of people. There's many statistics about people on their deathbed. What were their last words? And we like to look at that, and we like to try and glean some wisdom from whatever those people's last words were. Well, even more so, if we do that to them, we should really look at Paul's last words. We look at the life of Paul and an amazing life that it was. Man, we would be wise to look at, as Paul's last words, those last recorded words, what is it that he said and why did he say it? Again, what a testimony. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul had no regrets in his service to God. No regrets. Paul was a unique man when we look at his testimony. I mean, you talk about a life doing a total 180 on the way to crucify Christians. A man that threw Christians in jail. A man that was a wicked, wicked sinner, just as we are. A man that had skeletons in his closet, a hated man. And the Lord just did a total 180 with his life. If you saw the Lord change him from Saul to Paul, and my, how the Lord used Paul. He was a unique man when we look at his testimony. He was a bold man when we look at the stands that he took. He didn't water down his preaching. And because of that, he didn't water down his stand. He was not scared of the God that he served. And because of that, Paul has found himself in prison. He was a loving preacher. As we read his letters, we can read the love that he had for those churches, those love that he has for Timothy. Paul was a humble man. I don't think he ever forgot who he was, where he came from, and what the Lord did with him. However, Tom, maybe this is just me. When we read about these individuals, we read about Paul and whoever that may be, sometimes we can remove the humanity out of them. We can kind of forget about the struggles, perhaps, that they went through. I know I do that at times, but I try to strive to really get into the mind of some of these men that we read about. Paul, as he's sitting in prison, awaiting death, he's alone. Certainly prisons were not then like they were today. I mean, this is not a good place to be. What were the mental struggles that Paul went through? As he's there alone day after day, what's going through his mind? These were men. These were men that faced discouragement. These were men that faced hardship. I can imagine, you know, tears. I can imagine sorrow. You know, I don't know what Paul went through, but I do know that there had to be something that helped Paul. Obviously, the humanity of Paul is on full display as he is emotionally appealing to Timothy in this chapter that we read. Come see me. Come see me. I want you to do this before you come. And he gives Timothy some commands. Paul did not do what he did alone. We, of course, know that. We know that he had the Lord by his side. We know that the Lord was his number one companion, and the Lord was right there with him all the way. But if you read the rest of the chapter, we learn about some companions that Paul had. We heard about some friends, some fellow laborers that served alongside Paul. Mark, Tychicus, Priscilla, and Aquila. And obviously the Savior, most importantly, he ends it with, and all the brethren, referring to the many unnamed that encouraged him that served alongside him. Friendship is important. Friendship is especially important in the Christian life, in the Christian walk. We can look at those verses, Proverbs 27:17, a verse that we all know. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. That word companion, it carries the meaning of one who keeps company with another, one with whom a person frequently associates and converses, a partner. Paul partnered together with those to help with the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was not alone. Paul had many that helped him. Paul had many that helped him start those churches, many that served alongside him. You know what? That's a help. Nobody wants to do this alone. And you know what? God never intended for us to do this alone. I think one of the great things about Paul and the reason that Paul was able to do so so much that he was able to do it was because of those that served alongside him. Again, that's why we're here. We're here to partner together with Pastor, to those that we serve with, our church family. And we're here to partner together and see the cause of Christ move forward. We're not here to be divided. We're not here to point fingers at one another. But we're here to lift up each other. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to lift up our pastor. Our pastor is not just a man that we come on Sunday and his responsibility is to give us the word and then he's got to listen to what we have to say and our opinion. No, that's not the pastor. We're a church family here. Now, the Bible, God set him up in a place of authority, and he is to guide us. He is our shepherd. And our purpose is to help him do that. Our purpose is to help him fulfill that vision that God has given him. And that's what we ought to do as a good Christian. That ought to be our heart. Pastors all across this nation, this world, really, have times when they feel alone. You know what? That's a hard place to be. Just as we do, pastors need companions in the ministry as well. Pastors need friends. They need someone they can count on. However, we do read that Paul had some enemies as well, those that did him much wrong. In verse 14, he tells of Alexander the coppersmith who did him much evil. But I want to look at two men specifically tonight. Two men specifically. I want to look at Luke and Demas. First, if you're taking notes, I want us to look at Luke. Luke, we know, one of the four writers of the gospel. Luke is probably the most obscure. We don't know very much about him. We don't know a whole lot about his ministry. In fact, Paul, he only mentions Luke three times. He mentions Luke three times. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul addresses Luke as the beloved physician. We do know that Luke was a doctor. Now, obviously, during the time of the New Testament, doctors were not like they were today. They did not have nice offices and multiple staff nurses, and they weren't able to, whenever you came to the doctor, say, I just make him wait in the waiting room for 4 hours, and then I'll get out and see him when I can. That's not how it was. Many times the doctors at this time, they were very limited, obviously, as far as medicinal cures and procedures that they could do. There was much more of a holistic approach to healing. They made house calls. They knew their patients and families very well. They'd go to their house and they'd spend time there. They would often be at the bedside of those that were dying or passing away, or perhaps at present at the birth of a child. I believe because of this, I believe this profession of Luke had given him a specific quality of love and care. Luke did not preach Pentecost like Peter. He did not have a great vision as Paul did, or as John did, rather. But there was something about Luke that meant a great deal to Paul. What was that? Paul referred to Luke as a beloved physician. That word indicates a strong affection for Luke. We are not told, I was thinking about this, we are not told, and we can speculate exactly what Paul's doing in the flesh was. We are not sure. Many believe that it was a physical issue, but we're not for certain. It could be mental, it could be spiritual, we're not sure. But we do know the Lord didn't take it away. But if that is the case, if it was physical, I like to think that because of that, Luke's profession as a doctor was of great value to Paul. Perhaps that was a great help to Paul. At this time, Paul did not need the boldness of Peter. Paul did not need the love of John, but rather he needed a steady physician. And what a marvelous thing that God sends exactly who we need when we need him with the right talent. You know what? That's a blessing. And that's what Luke was for Paul. You know what? You are valuable to the church. God has placed you here for a unique reason. I don't know what that reason is. Whatever your talent is, whatever your personality is, maybe you're outspoken, maybe you're an introvert. I think most of y'all heard my wife speak for the first time the other night when she did the kindergarten graduation. So I would say that she's introverted. But whatever that is, whatever your gifts or talents are, God has placed you in this church for a reason. That's to be an encouragement. That's to serve. That's to be a blessing to somebody. And that's to get involved. And that's what Luke was. I don't think Luke was jealous of Peter. Man, Peter, man, he was bold. He's a great preacher. He gets up there and he gets 3,000 to the Lord. Man, what's up with that? Man, John got to see this great vision. And man, Peter got to walk on the water. I don't think Luke was like that. I think Luke was content on what God had given him to do and what that gift that God had given him was. A couple things. One more thing. Find fulfillment in being a blessing and to help a brother and sister in Christ. You know what? It's a blessing whenever you get to be a help to somebody. When you get to put a smile on somebody's face, when there's a need and you can feel it, that gives you a joy that you can't explain. That gives you a joy that many other things can't do. That'll bring a smile to your face. And you know what? Let me encourage you to do that. Again, I said, you may not be much of a talker. You may not be much of a person that is good with words, and you can go up and you can encourage and you can give this great long speech on to somebody and get them out of the rut. That may not be you, but you can write a letter. You know, you can drop a little goodie off. You can pray for them. Whatever that is, find some fulfillment in being a help to somebody. I want to look at a couple things. Luke was the exact companion Paul needed. We just looked at that. Luke could help Paul in ways no one else could. When we have a physical need, we typically go to the doctor. We don't let just anyone poke around us and jab us with this and pop our bones. And one of the silliest things I ever did in college, and looking back to it, man, that was silly. There was this big old guy, and he was going around saying, oh, man, I can pop your neck if you want me to pop your neck. And he had done it to a couple of people. I'm like, you're a psycho, dude. I'm not doing that. And then finally, I'm like, let's try. And so I let him pop my neck, and, you know, praise the Lord, I'm standing here now. But just lost a couple of brain cells. I got Tourette's a little bit. But, you know, we don't let just anybody do those things to us. Paul did not want anybody helping him. But Luke could do something for him that no one else could. Luke was a man who knew how to work. Luke was a fellow laborer. As I said, doctors did not have fancy offices and multiple staff. So because of that, they would have to walk miles, perhaps, take a day's journey all the way to one of their patients' house. Luke was somebody that wasn't scared of work. Luke was a servant. Paul mentions him several times as a servant. If you want to please God, if you want to encourage your pastor, if you want to see the church grow and move forward, find a place to serve. Find a place to get involved. Find a place to get busy. Christianity is not easy. Seeing the church grow is not easy. It's not something we just get to show up, pray, and God does it. But find a place to serve. Find some fulfillment in getting involved in serving the Lord, as Luke did. You know what? That's an encouragement to our pastor. That was an encouragement to Paul. Perhaps as Paul was sitting in prison, and he didn't have much to do there, but he had time to think. And perhaps Paul spent some time thinking about those that he had invested in. He spent some time thinking about those churches that he had helped start and thinking of the people there. And perhaps what gave him some peace, perhaps what gave him some comfort during that time was, man, I've got some folks out there that I know that they're faithful. I know that they're serving. When I'm out of town, I know that there's some folks back home. You know what? They're going to be in their place. They're going to be serving. They're going to be a help. And you know what? That helps. That helps the pastor. That encourages him. That helps his stress to go down. That helps him be able to slip away for a couple of days. And you know what? So we should take that seriously. We should make it a point to be faithful. Luke was not the most talented man that we know of. He was not up front and center of all the disciples. And he was not a very loud man. But the Lord used him in a great way. Luke was a faithful friend. We read in verse 11, only Luke is with me. It's interesting, in verse 16, Paul also says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. There was a time where Paul felt that no man stood with him. He felt alone. He felt forsaken. But yet, verse 11, what a testament to Luke. Only Luke is with me. Paul perhaps seemed that everybody else, that everything else in his world was crumbling down and those had forsaken me. But a tear perhaps came to his eye as he thought, boy, Luke's with me. Luke's out there. Luke's praying for me. He's out there doing what I've taught him to do. And you know what? That was an encouragement to Paul. Luke was a faithful friend. Have you been there? Again, Paul is sitting in prison. He's awaiting death. He's ready to enter into eternity, and Luke is there with him. Many had forsaken Paul. Paul had sent others to deliver messages to churches, but he had Luke specifically stay there with him. Why Luke? Why? You had all these men, and you can read in chapter 4 of the men that he gave jobs, and at the end of Colossians as well, he is giving some jobs, some tasks for those men to do. But he asked Luke to stay with him, and why is that? Well, that's because Luke's faithfulness, it was an encouragement to Paul. Paul needed him there with him. Perhaps you've been there. you've been in that place in your life and it's just a low point. As Paul was sitting in prison, a low point in his life. You feel like you're in a valley. You feel like you can't get out. You feel like you're alone. And there was somebody, there was one person that was there. There was one person that you could talk to. There was one person that you could cry to. There was one person that you knew. Man, they understand me. They understand what I'm going through. They're listening. Or perhaps you've been in that spot in your life, a low point, a valley, and you felt that there was nobody. You felt that there was nobody you could talk to, nobody you could go to. Is anybody even thinking about me? Is anybody praying for me? Perhaps you've been there. Either one, you know the importance of being that individual. You know the importance of being that one servant. You know the importance of being that companion, that friend who could be there, who was there for you, and boy, that made the world of a difference. Let me encourage you to be that. That's what Luke was for Paul. Luke is a wonderful example to us of how we should be to our pastor. Let's be a help to him. Let's be a faithful companion. Can pastor count on us? Can he count on you? We looked at Luke, a faithful friend. Can we look at Demas? Let's look at Demas. Verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. As was Luke, Demas was only mentioned three times by Paul. All three mentioned in the same passage as Luke. All three times that Demas was mentioned, interestingly, it was the same time as Luke was mentioned. Once in Philemon, it was a positive mention of Demas, along with three others whom Paul called his fellow laborers, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. That's a positive mention of Demas. A second mention of Demas and Luke is found in Colossians, where Paul refers to them as fellow prisoners. It seems at this point that Paul has a pretty good relationship with Demas. It seems at this point that Luke and Demas are perhaps right there with Paul, that he counts them both as a faithful friend. But when we get to this last mention of Demas, all of that changes. If it stopped right there, we'd have a pretty good opinion of Demas. Perhaps we'd be preaching about being faithful as Demas. But that's not the case. We read in that last mention of Demas that Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was once a faithful friend of Paul, but he has since left him behind. He's betrayed their friendship, and he's left the service of God. It seems that Demas had left Paul probably at a time where Paul needed him most. Paul's in prison. He's facing persecution. And this seems to be the time that Demas has forsaken him and left him behind. He's left the things of God. He's left his friendship behind with Paul. That word forsake. To quit or leave entirely. To abandon, leave, to reject, to fail. Those are harsh words. Those hurt deeply when a friend causes you to feel that way. To feel hurt, to feel abandoned. That's a low place. That's a place where it's dark and you feel you don't have anybody you can go to. Perhaps there's been a time where you've been forsaken by a friend that you thought that would never happen. I have not, obviously, have not been serving in the ministry long at all. But I do know men of God, pastors that serving have been faithful. Perhaps as a church member, you've been in churches a long time, much of your life, and you know of perhaps folks that come to your mind of, man, they were faithful, they were right there. I could always count on them. And since then, they've forsaken you, they've forsaken the things of God, they've cursed the pastor, they've cursed the church, and they're gone. Think about how that made you feel. Think about perhaps how that makes the pastor feel, and that's what Demas has done to Paul. That's where Paul is at with Demas. You know what? It is not wrong for a pastor to expect his church members to stand by his side. You know, we're kind of scared of the word loyalty in our churches today. That word comes up and we get on edge and we listen to every word that is said. And perhaps some of that is right and in its place. But there's nothing wrong with loyalty. I'm not talking about when he strays from the word of God or a pastor gets into sin. But loyalty is a good thing. God has put this man in this place, and we should be loyal. We should back him. We should be behind him. Whatever those decisions he makes, we may not always understand. We may not always agree. But, man, we're to be right behind him. We're to be loyal to the pastor. The pastor, it is not wrong for him to expect, man, I know that my church folk, that my church family. They're going to be right by my side. It is also not wrong for a pastor to feel that church members have forsaken him during a time that he needed them most. But I believe this is what Paul is feeling about Demas. And his mind, and this is on his mind as he's calling out to Timothy to come see him. Can we look at Demas and just draw a little bit of wisdom from what Paul is saying, and then we'll wrap up this evening. It's important to note that the reason Demas left Paul and the things of God. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. If you're taking notes, right under Demas, number one, like Demas, many Christians are strong for a season, but cannot endure to the end. Compare Demas with what Paul has said. Paul said, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Paul was faithful to the end. Luke was faithful. Luke was a faithful servant. Had it always been easy? I think, as we're reading the context, I think we can say no. Paul was in prison. I don't think it's been more easy. Luke had seen much persecution. He had seen John the Baptist be beheaded. He had seen much persecution. Paul had been nearly killed, beaten to death at a time. It was not easy. But Paul understood that there were times for a Christian, he will have to endure hardness for the cause of Christ. You know what? There's going to be some difficult times. And the easy thing that our flesh wants to do is just leave it all behind. Leave the church behind. Leave the man of God behind. Leave our place of service behind. And let's just get away from it. Let's just relax. However, that is foolish of us to think that that'll make our life any easier. On the contrary, that'll make it a lot worse. And then we can, then that comes into the fact of we start to blame God and we seem to forget that, you know, that was simply a test and we forsook the things of God and we forsook the church. That's what Demas did. But Paul, during those hard times, Paul did not forsake. Paul did not quit on God. And let me encourage you, I don't know what, maybe you're going through a time right now and it's a dark place. Perhaps you're going through some time and you're struggling. But let me encourage you to endure. Endure for the hardness. Endure this time because it's only for a season. Only for a season. The Lord has great things to come. Perhaps you're in the valley right now, but I want you to look up to the mountaintop and say, one day, God's going to put me there, and then I'll understand why all this happened down here. Be faithful as Paul was faithful. Be faithful as Luke was faithful. We think about Joseph, and Joseph, all the things that he went through, jail and being misrepresented, being lied about, being cast into a hole and sold into slavery by his brothers, and we see that Joseph was faithful. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. As I mentioned earlier about trying to understand the minds and the mental struggle of what these men went through. I don't know what that must have been like. What was gnawing at him say, Joseph, you better just give up. You better just quit on God. Because this, clearly he's not paying attention. But Joseph was faithful. He endured that hardness. Let me encourage you. Endurance. Because there's a brighter day coming. Demas, number two, Demas had forsaken Paul at a crucial time. This was a time where Paul needed Demas in his life. That companionship of Demas was an encouragement to Paul. Demas' service to the Lord strengthened Paul's spirit. It helps you when you feel like you have a partner serving with you. Nobody wants to do it alone. If you've ever been in junior church and you're by yourself, you never want to do it alone. The more people, the better. Perhaps you've been at a work day and you're working on a project and you're by yourself. And it's like, well, this is a drag. This is terrible. Nobody wants to serve by themselves. It's a help. Even if you're out there and you're working and the kids are making you want to pull your hair out, or perhaps you're serving, you're out on Saturday or Thursday and you're just drenched in sweat, knocking doors, and you're like, come on, please. But you know what? It helps when you're alone because you're like, well, they're suffering right there with me. They want to pull their hair out too, so that helps. You know what? You can look at your buddy and say, well, this is pretty terrible, isn't it? And that encourages you. That encourages you. It's nice to have somebody serving alongside you. Again, pastors, they're not, can I say it like this, they're not superheroes. They're not invincible. They aren't unstoppable. You know what? And we have a pastor that truly does depend on the Lord. And I don't believe that if everybody in this church left, that he would quit on the Lord. We have a faithful man of God that stands here. But it makes a tremendous difference to know that you have a friend behind you. And and ready to serve alongside you. I thank God put the premium on that. I think that is just a wonderful thing. And it's not to be overlooked. It's not to be forgotten. The Lord takes note of that. Be a faithful friend. Verse 16 and 17, I do want to make a quick note. Paul was certainly not complaining about demons. Paul was not saying, woe is me, and man, I'm just so mistreated. His strength did rely on the Savior above all. His faith was in the Lord. Verses 16 and 17, we read that when he said, and no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God, it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When you feel low, perhaps when you feel alone, when you feel that you have been forsaken and there's not that person there, maybe the pastor doesn't understand you. Maybe nobody understands you. Your spouse doesn't understand you. Your parents don't understand you. Your teachers don't understand you. The church family doesn't understand you. The Lord is right there. The Lord is with you. Run to the Lord. Paul said, the Lord, everyone I felt forsake me, but the Lord is right there with me. And you know what? His strength was found in the Lord. And you know what? Our strength can be found in the Lord. And then lastly, about Demas. Demas' love for the world caused him to desert Paul. Demas had become enamored by the things of this world. The temporal had become more important than the eternal. Something took Demas' eye off the cause of Christ and took hold of his heart. Whether that was wrong priorities, perhaps that was a twisted love, it caused Demas not only to forsake Paul, not only to forsake the church, but it caused him to forsake God. Maybe that was success. Maybe that was fame and status. Maybe that was a position somewhere. Maybe that was fleshly pleasures. It replaced the love of God. We better be careful what we let into our life. We better be careful about what we let into our minds, into our heart. Because the devil is just looking for an opportunity to grab a small spot, to sneak in and hide in the corner of our heart and our mind. And then he'll begin to take over. And he'll begin to expand and grow. And soon, whatever that was that we let sneak into our heart, boy, it's taken over. We either have the love of God inside us, or we have the love of the world. So we must be careful. We must guard our hearts at all times. Perhaps it seems little. It's just a little thing, and maybe it is little. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. But think about if the devil gets in there. The devil gets in your heart. And if he gets a hold of your heart, it's hard to let go. And you know what? It caused Demas to forget all that he had known. It caused Demas to forsake Paul, to forsake God. I mean, Demas had seen some amazing things. He had seen the church grow. Let's get on our level. I mean, he had seen the church grow from 40 to 300. He had seen the church do some building projects. He had seen the Lord allow the church to build a gym and get some more buses and add some more Sunday schools. And he's seen the Lord do a lot of things. But something along the way got into his heart, and that caused him to get off track. Perhaps your mind is going to people that you know. Man, I could just see it. I could see it over the week. Something was gnawing at their heart. Something was taking hold of them. And now that they've forsaken the things of God. They've forsaken the truth. That's what happened to Demas. Man, we must guard our hearts. We must protect ourselves about what we let into our eyes, what we let into our ears, who we let into our life. Again, you either have the love of God inside you or the love of this world. Do you serve your Heavenly Father because you love Him? Do you serve Him because that's just what you're supposed to do? Perhaps you serve Him because, oh, that's what my parents did. That's how they raised me, and I'll just keep going to church because, you know, I want to make them proud. We need to serve the Heavenly Father. We must have a love for Him, a love that cannot be broken, a love that is so rich that cannot go away, cannot be taken. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Those who love the world, they don't have the love of the Father. Paul said to be rooted and perhaps Demas' love for God, perhaps Demas' love for the church and for Paul, perhaps it was just on the surface. Perhaps it was when we look at the ground, and perhaps it was just a little bit of that dirt that you can just kind of kick off. Maybe it was one of those weeds that you can real easy just pull out and flick. But Paul said to be rooted as a, we think of a big tree and those roots, and they just make their way into the ground and nothing's getting those things out. That's how we ought to be for God. That's how our love and our relationship with God ought to be. Not just on the surface, because if it's just on the surface, it don't take nothing for the devil to come over and go, bloop, kick us. He may not take loop, but he'll kick us. It won't take much for a strong wind to come and just blow us over. Our love for the Lord, our love for Christ must be strengthened. It must be rooted deep into the Word of God. It must be rooted deep into our alone time with God. Just as we say as a spouse, perhaps you would say, I have the love of my wife in my heart. And it's in there, and it's full, and it's not going anywhere. You have the love of your children in your heart, and you know the importance of that. And, oh, man, nothing could change my love for my children. And that's exactly how the love of God should be. If somebody says, there's going to be a day where you're just going to forsake your children, you're going to forsake your spouse, and leave it all behind. You would say, are you serious? Ain't no way that's going to happen. You know what? That's how our love for Christ needs to be. It better be in there. It better be rooted. And it better be deep and grounded, and so that we may never forsake that. Demas got swooned and distracted by the temporal things of this world. Paul, just before he wrote about Demas, wrote, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul saw the eternal reward. Demas, he would only enjoy those pleasures for a season. Whatever those pleasures were, it would just be for a short time. But Paul said, there's going to be crowns of righteousness. And I'm going to be with the Lord one day. This is all just temporal. Everything I'm doing, that's for an eternal cause. Paul understood that. You want to encourage your pastor? I think the best thing you can do is be faithful. Be in your place. Be faithful to the Lord. You want to encourage your pastor? You want to see the church move forward? Be faithful. Both Luke and Demas were companions of Paul in the ministry. They were friends. They served alongside him. Just as we do today. Put ourselves in, let's bring it home right here. Just as we're sitting next, this is me and Brother Gallion, our companion. This is what Paul felt. Both Luke and Demas were companions of Paul in the ministry. Luke stayed by Paul's side. Demas forsook Paul. Luke, a faithful companion. Demas, one who deserted Paul. He deserted God. Which will you do? 5 years down the road? 1 year down the road? Perhaps 20 years down the road? Which one are you going to be? I can tell you that decision, that answer, it really starts, it's a day-to-day decision. Every day, you bet the Bible tells us to die daily, to give ourselves fully to the Lord every day. Can we look at one more passage and then we're done for the night? Done for this evening. Exodus chapter 17. I want to look at one thing. Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 12. You know the story. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. With Moses' hand, they began to get tired. They began to shake. He couldn't do it. They were falling. Aaron and Hur, it says, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur, they stayed up his hand, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. As long as Moses' hands were up, as long as that rod was up, Israel prevailed. Sometimes the man of God needs help. Sometimes Corey Nepshield, he needs some help. Sometimes Corey Nepshield needs somebody like Aaron and Hur to come up beside him and say, Pastor, let me help you. Let me hold your arm up. And if we do that, if we believe what we read, as Israel prevailed, we do. through that, the church will prevail. The cause of Christ will prevail. If we just lift up, we lift up the pastor, we lift up each other, and we're faithful. Will you be faithful to the Lord? The Lord wants to use you. People are counting on you. Not just the pastor, not just the church staff, but those that come, they watch you. And you know what? When you forsake, when you leave the things of God, that hurts people. That discourages them. That may cause others to get out. And you'll answer for that one day. Man, we need you to serve alongside us. We love you. The church family. We all love one another. And we want to encourage one another. We want to serve together. That's what it's all about. Demas is only remembered for forsaking the ministry. He's not remembered for the good that we read about. He's not remembered for being a companion for Paul. He's remembered for forsaking the things of God. Luke, a faithful companion. In the end, what will your testimony be? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for that thought. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we look at Paul and we think of those that were in Paul's life, Lord, Paul's ministry and what you allowed Paul to do, he did not do it alone. He did not do it by himself. Lord, certainly you were there with him and you allowed him to do all that he did. But you also gave him some servants. You gave him some friends, some companions, those that would come alongside him and lift him up and help him. Lord, I pray that we would do just that. Lord, I pray that we would make decisions daily that, Lord, no matter what, I don't want to see myself down the road be a demon. I don't want to look back and say, man, when did I just forsake all the things of God? Lord, we want to be a Luke. We want to be a Paul. We want to be faithful to the end. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and you would stir us and help us.